We understand the urgent need to lower withholdings, but it doesn't serve anyone that we lower them to gain political advantage in the elections. We changed our minds and the tax on agricultural exports was lowered to 0% until October 31st. This video is divided into two parts. In the first part, I'm going to answer all the questions you have about this measure. What are withholdings? Why did we have withholdings? Who benefits from the elimination of withholdings? Pay attention, because this is the most important part of the video. It's an electoral measure. This makes it harder to overcome the fiscal deficit. This doesn't mess up the trade balance. Why are some in the countryside complaining about the lower taxes in the countryside? And after answering all those questions, let's make it fun. Let's see the reaction of the opposition complaining that taxes were lowered. Let's get started. For the first time in 1862, someone can say out loud, there are no more withholdings for the countryside. Let's see if we understand each other. Everyone alive in Argentina right now, since they were born until today, has only known one country with agricultural withholdings. So that you understand how important this is. Now, what are withholdings? Agricultural withholdings are taxes on seeds, such as wheat, soybeans, and corn, and also on meat exports. And now they are no longer in effect until October 31st, but we will get to that. And why did we have withholdings? Because politicians need money to do politics. By politics, I mean hiring all your friends and family until the state is an infinite size. And how did they get the money to do that policy? Well, with the only idea that politicians have, taxes. And why taxes on agriculture and not on other things? Well, first of all, because everything else probably already has taxes and only agriculture is missing. But there is another, much more perverse reason. Let's suppose that I am a politician, I want to make policies and I impose a tax on, I don't know, bicycles. The guy who makes bicycles is going to have to increase the price of the bicycle in order to pay me the taxes. In other words, people are going to see that bicycles are more expensive. Eventually, people are going to stop buying bicycles because they won't have enough money. At that point, the guy from the bicycle factory takes his factory, grabs his bicycles and goes to a neighboring country where there are fewer taxes and sells his bicycles there. Well, the guy in the countryside can't do that. He can't grab fertile land and go to the neighboring country. In other words, generally, the highest taxes are on agriculture, oil, mining, etc., everything that is tied to the ground. One clarification, that doesn't mean that eventually people won't leave. Nothing is grown in Cuba. Eventually, if there are too many taxes, people flee anyway. But anyway, they are the last to flee. So, who benefits from this temporary reduction in withholdings? The large producers and exporters. Small and medium-sized producers, not so much. Let me explain. Contrary to popular belief, agricultural producers don't just plant soybeans. They plant different seeds depending on the time of year, because different seeds need different climates in order to grow. Soybeans are planted only once a year and are harvested in April. Therefore, most sales are made in April. Small and medium-sized producers sell as soon as they have the seeds because they have to buy the next ones. There are two groups that save seeds, exporters and large producers. And who are the exporters? Well, when agricultural producers finish making whatever seed they take to an exporter, and it makes sense, agricultural producers know how to grow the plant, and exporters know who to sell it to. It makes sense that there is a division of labor. Well, what the exporter does is pay the agricultural producer what the seed costs at that time, but they don't sell it, they save it and sell it when it is more profitable. That is, the exporter and the large producer, because they also have a backing, collect, save seeds and sell them when it is more profitable. Small and medium producers already sold their soybeans in April, that is, this temporary elimination of export taxes will benefit those who have soybeans at this very moment, the exporters and the large producers. If you want to benefit small and medium producers, this tax reduction should not be temporary, it should be permanent. But hey, this is progress. So, does this benefit the wealthiest? Well, technically no, and I'll explain it with an anecdote. When I was young, I worked in nightclubs as a bartender. The bars in the nightclubs were not owned by the owners, but were rented from someone else. And you could go, put up money, staff the bar and make a profit from the sale of alcohol all night long. Well, at one point it occurred to me to ask who was putting up the money. In my imagination, it was the people from the countryside, because the Kirchnerites always told us that the people from the countryside were the millionaires. Well, it turns out that the reality was very different. The ones who put up the money to rent the bars were politicians because the Kirchnerites imposed so many taxes on the countryside that it was no longer profitable. So, the people from the countryside were no longer the investors in the economy, they were the losers. The real investors were the politicians who kept the money from the countryside. So, the fact that someone from the private sector benefits, no matter who it is something that benefits everyone. Exporters and large producers are going to build buildings, they are not going to keep the dollars, they are going to build buildings, they are going to open businesses, whatever comes along, and the more business, the more buildings, the more everything, the lower the cost of everything and we all benefit. Also, when a building is built, someone has to build it, so that is work. Therefore, tax cuts, no matter what sector of the economy, always benefit everyone and we should always celebrate them. Now, a tax cut does not mean less revenue. Or, in other words, is the fiscal super at risk? No. Let's take it one step at a time. First, withholdings are not the only tax. People in the countryside, companies, exporters and everyone else pay the same taxes that I do. Income tax, VAT, etc. So, if suddenly there is an activity that picks up, that activity, even if it doesn't pay one tax, it will pay the rest. Therefore, there will be an increase in revenue. Furthermore, we are talking about something that was an act of becoming an activity. Let me explain, that soybean was stored in silos, doing nothing. In other words, it was in one place while the owner speculated about whether or not to sell it and suddenly a good opportunity arose. Therefore, there will be an unexpected economic movement, there will be an upturn in something. That will obviously mean more revenue. That is the direct revenue. Then comes indirect tax collection. When the exporter or large producer has the money, as I told you before, they will build whatever building comes their way. All of that also pays taxes, therefore, indirect tax collection. You get the idea. No matter how you look at it, lowering taxes means more tax collection, especially in this particular case. Now, there are many people saying that this is a small money plan, an electoral measure. So let's answer that question. Is it an electoral measure? Yes, of course it is, obviously it is. How could it not be an electoral measure? Clearly it is. The elections are coming up soon and that's a bad thing, right? Think about what the others who were in power before did when the elections were approaching. They took a lot of money, printed a lot of money, generated inflation for everyone and gave that money to some people to buy votes. In other words, they ruined all Argentines' savings and salaries to see if they could win elections. This doesn't hurt anyone and benefits everyone. This is excellent. Tax cuts should always be celebrated. Next question, doesn't this mess up the trade balance? Before answering that question, I'm going to explain what the trade balance is. Let's suppose you want to buy this iPhone and you buy it from Pepito, right? Pepito didn't make the iPhone in the municipality of La Matanza. Maybe the person who stole it got it there. But that's not the case. Pepito didn't make the iPhone in Argentina. Pepito imported it from somewhere and to import it he doesn't need this, he needs this, but Pepito is going to use this, Argentine pesos, and the central bank is going to change those Argentine pesos into dollars and send the dollars to the Yankee who sold him the iPhone. Well, what's the danger in that? If everyone wants to buy a bunch of imported stuff, Argentina could end up with $100. And that's where exports come in. If there are people, for example, selling lithium abroad, what they're doing is sending lithium and dollars coming in. That is the trade balance, the amount of dollars coming in versus the amount going out. Well, this government has done a great job, which is to have a positive trade balance. And why? For exactly this same measure, lowering export taxes, lowering export regulations, it made us export more than we import, and that's despite the fact that we have record imports. In other words, we have record exports and imports. Therefore, this measure is not going to pose a problem for either revenue or the trade balance, and also for another reason, because I told you before, soybeans are usually sold in April. During these months, no one is selling anything. This soybean that is going to be sold now is soybean that was stored, stockpiled, so it should not harm the trade balance in any way. Next April, soybeans will be sold as usual. In other words, this is going to be an unexpected inflow of dollars. And in fact, that was the goal. Conclusion, this is excellent news. It should not be interpreted in any other way. It is something historic in Argentina, and there's also a good precedent. My law, when it announced a reduction in withholdings, the last time it announced a reduction in withholdings, it said it would be temporary. But when the date arrived when it was supposed to return to the previous price, it became permanent. So there is a great possibility that this will remain permanent. So why are some in the countryside complaining about the reduction in taxes in the countryside? The first reason is because there is no problem, because this is a temporary measure and the countryside, the small and medium producers, would like it to be permanent. Or let me put it another way. You sow a seed and you harvest it months later. In other words, your commercial activity requires a lot of prior planning. It is an investment that takes months. It would be good to know that taxes are going to be reduced before you put the seed in the ground. So you plant more seeds or buy more land or whatever. That is where the complaint of small and medium producers comes from. What would be ideal? Well, that the reduction in taxes remains permanent. What happens? Probably for me, perhaps the tax will return but at a lower level, and that would also benefit the countryside and they would also be happy. Last time, my law surprised us and fixed it, so there may be no more withholding in the countryside. And now let's get to the fun part of the video, which is opposition politicians complaining about a tax cut. Margarita Stolver, pure campaigning and desperation due to lack of dollars. How do they explain what items they are going to give up with this drop in tax revenue? Are they going to continue taking it from the provinces? She is not even right about what they told us they knew. They are not fit to govern. Margarita Stolver is ignorant when it comes to tax collection. More taxes does not mean that you collect more. More taxes can mean that the bicycle factory leaves and less taxes, especially when there is stock to export. That's why I was telling you, stockpiling will mean that people export and more will be collected. Therefore, yes, it will not be collected with withholdings, but it will be collected with other taxes. In short, ignorant. Next. This is the Putita plan. This is a plan, the Putita plan. One detail. This is a left-wing program, isn't it? So, there are feminists on the panel. Saying the Putita plan is not the happiest thing in feminism. I don't give a damn, but in feminism it's not the happiest thing. So, look at the reaction of the panelist who is with him. This is the Putita plan. This is a plan, the Putita plan, the one that gives in exchange for dollars. It's the Putita plan. Putita. He believes that the government gives in exchange for lowering taxes. In other words, it gives away what belongs to the government, and that's not the case. What you produce is yours, not the government's. The government takes it from you. Well, you take it from the government, that's crazy, that when they lower your taxes, You keep more of what you produced, you're taking it from the government. But hey, what am I going to expect from a guy who works for a channel that lives off taxes, who defends taxes? Next. Maximiliano Puo, governor of Santa Fe, a very agricultural area. We have been demanding this since the first day of his administration. We want withholdings to be eliminated forever, not temporarily, nor to support the exchange rate for electoral purposes, nor to finance capital flight. Well, not to support the exchange rate for electoral purposes, nor to finance capital flight. Let's see, this goes a little deeper. We are experiencing a fall in the peso that was being supported by selling dollars from the central bank. Now, because of the good news about the intervention of the United States, which does not specifically mean a loan, right? Basically, we are going to intervene to negotiate with the IMF. We'll see if it's a loan or not, but just because of the news of the low withholdings and the intervention of the United States, that is, the aid from the United States stopped being evaluated in the peso and the central bank didn't spend a single dollar yesterday. So what comes in dollars won't necessarily be spent on dollars because the dollar stopped bleeding, sorry, the peso stopped bleeding. There's no reason to believe what he said. We need real policies that benefit producers and generate predictability so that the sector can invest. The irony of this is, well, they leave it here, look, Puo's anti-production taxes. Puo imposed taxes, for example, on loans. You go and ask for a loan in Santa Fe and 9% goes to taxes, that is, the loan ends up being more expensive. He's shameless. The guy raises taxes on agricultural producers and complains when my law lowers taxes on the countryside. Next. Roberto Kashinovsky, former liberal, I suppose. Javier Miley at Expo Agro. This is the video you saw at the beginning of the video.
We understand the urgent need to lower withholdings, but it doesn't serve anyone if we lower them to gain political advantage from elections and then the model collapses and we have to put them back in, as has happened with other governments. Before, my law said that they couldn't lower withholdings, that is, eliminate withholdings altogether because that would mean they wouldn't have dollar income or dollar income would drop significantly and then they wouldn't be able to pay the debt we have in dollars, in other words, it wasn't convenient. However, right now our trade balance is very good, right? Not only because of agriculture, but because of all exports, record exports, in other words, we don't depend solely on agriculture and we also have dollars in the central bank, so it can be done. When he said this, perhaps it couldn't be done, now it can be done. Next. Ricardo Alfonsin, a person whose only merit is one. It's always the small and medium-sized businesses that suffer, they've already lost everything, they don't have the resources to retain it. The big ones are the ones who benefit the most. This is what I said in the video. However, when someone's taxes are lowered, we all benefit indirectly. And it's also a good sign, man, that when there are elections we're not printing money and generating inflation or grabbing the sacks and giving it to the people. What we're doing is lowering taxes. It's a good sign. Second, will the cost of animal production, meat, chicken, pork, etc., go up? I won't explain. First, if it's a temporary measure, that is, if the withholdings return after October 31st, right? The corn is already sold, there's no corn stockpile, it's already exported, that's it. Yes, the corn was sold in March, July, August. Okay, so that's it, it's already harvested. Now, let's suppose it becomes a permanent measure. What's going to happen? Corn is going to be much more profitable to sell on the foreign market than on the domestic market. So suddenly, the person who has animals has to buy more expensive corn and that will be transferred to the cost after the meat. Well, that's not the case. Why? Because exports also took away from livestock. In other words, the guy who sells meat now has a higher profit margin because he has fewer taxes. In other words, he buys more expensive corn, he buys it more expensive. He makes more profit when he sells the meat, he makes more profit. So there shouldn't be a cost transfer. His situation has already improved. Do you understand? 3. Of course, right? If it's temporary, no. And if it's fixed, we also said no. 4. Will food prices go up in the supermarkets? Of course, he says. No. 5. It wasn't that there's no money. Oh, because he thinks there's going to be a drop in prices because he's an idiot. 5. This whole government is improvised and not serious. This comes from an idiot, right? But I'm going to take it slightly seriously. Something predictable is always better than even a surprise. Yes, even if it's a good surprise because as I told you, agricultural producers plan something months in advance. Yes, so, it's good that they know what the rules of the game are going to be, but the rules of the game remain the same. Taxes will continue to be lowered. No one should be surprised if another one is lowered, even if it's temporary, because you know that in the long run it's going to reach zero, because that's what the government has been doing and that's what the government is going to continue doing. So I understand how improvised it is that it seems like it's suddenly done something that it didn't seem like it was going to do, but come on, man, think about the alternative for a second. Other governments expropriated things from you, use that money to distribute it among non-productive people. What are we talking about? I mean, they threw money away. They set it on fire directly. They set money on fire. Next, Guillermo Moreno. Tremendous transfer, income against the sectors of workers, retirees and informal workers. This guy thinks you can increase taxes to infinity and use that money to raise pensions and salaries for workers. If you increase taxes to infinity, companies will leave. In fact, they left when he tried to do it. In other words, production fell. This guy is a disaster. He is not serious. In addition to a fiscal cost of $15.5 billion in 45 days, the ballot box on October 26 will be the best response to such nonsense. Back to the point. This fiscal cost is stupid because the sheets, as I explained, were already sold in April. This was just stock. So next, the government is going to explain where the funds come from to lower withholdings. Stupid argument, no. Well, from a stupid one. What's more, in fact, the trade balance was, I think, above $1 billion. I mean, if you have such a positive trade balance, it means that you can rescind the collection of those dollars. It's the advantage that you get from having deregulated exports so that more dollars come in. I mean, you're reaping your own good decisions. It's incredible. I hope this video helps to enlighten more than one person. Just a clarification. It's not that Navarro and everyone else who spoke don't have an economist to explain things to them, they do. They prefer to go out and lie to harm and see if they can return to power. Do you understand that? They're not stupid. This video is not made for these sons of. This video is made so that we all understand. And look, I don't know more than you. I spent the whole day yesterday. Today I woke up at 6 in the morning. I went to bed at 2 in the morning and I spent the whole day yesterday talking to agricultural producers and economists. This video is not improvised. If it's done in a hurry, it's not improvised. Next. The government announced a new soybean dollar, says Ern Lecher. This is what Mile and Adorney thought in 2022. Sure, let's put it in context. Grabbing and throwing the ball in the last minute of a basketball game where you're losing by 100 points is irrelevant. Now, grabbing and throwing the ball in a basketball game where you're tied can mean victory. So, the same action, depending on the context, can be an excellent action or a stupid one. Well, Massa did exactly the same thing during his government. He announced a temporary reduction in withholdings to see if he could get more dollars. But of course, Massa didn't manage the Argentine economy well, so his trade balance was very negative. Instead, this government has already managed to have a positive trade balance, that is, many more dollars come in than go out. So, you can transfer that difference to a tax cut. You understand, Hernán Leche. It can be done now and it couldn't be done before. Now it's a good idea and before it was stupid. Stupid. Next, Martín Yeyora, governor of Córdoba, a province also with a very large agricultural sector. From the very beginning we have demanded the elimination of long-term withholdings, blah 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 blah. This same guy also raised taxes on the countryside and is saying that he had been asking for taxes on the countryside to be lowered. I mean, he raises them in his province and they criticize my law that lowers them because the reduction is only temporary. Also, one very important thing about Charlona, Huo and all these governors who formed their own party called United Governors, United Provinces. These people have just added Martin Lusto to their team, the creator of the largest tax on the countryside that almost led to a civil war. So, where are they coming from? From where, really? It's incredible. And there you have it, we have reached the end of this video. I hope you liked it. Sorry for the disorganization. Understand, these are important measures. I try to do it as quickly as possible and I hope the explanation has been useful to you. Thank you for having reached the end of this video. I remind you that this is maintained thanks to the efforts of my Patreons. You can enter at patreon.com/tipitoanahato or at tipitoanahato.com/donaciones.
Angry, wrathful, furious, frenzied, berserker, rageous and capitalist pigs, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me make all this possible. Thank you very much. Thank you again for reaching the end of this video and as always I wish you freedom.